Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 113 of Geek Town Radio. This week I have with me Ross.
Hello.
We're here.
Finally.
How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. I've had a busy month. How are you, Dave?
I'm doing well, thank you. I've had a busy week sorting things out There's been lots of news around and stuff, so it's been good.
Good.
What have you been up to?
You know what? I was thinking about this when I was drafting, because every time I do this, I draft a list of what I've been.
Yeah.
And I was off sick a couple of days this month, but I must have been bored at home or something, because I've watched a lot of TV this month. So just some of the TV that you already talked about. I know you talked about this last week with Andrew. Silicon Valley I've been watching.
Oh, yeah.
I watched the whole thing, and including, I think we're up to the second one, maybe the third one's on tomorrow night or tonight when this goes out.
Yes, I think so.
So yeah, that's been really good. Really enjoy Silicon Valley.
Very funny show. Had you not seen it at all up until that point?
I've never seen it before, and now I've seen all, is it three seasons and we're on the fourth, or two and we're on the third, whatever. Yeah, I've seen them all now.
Yeah.
It's good.
Oh, it's a very funny show, that. It's well worth watching.
I think from where it's like... It's it's like, imagine the Big Bang Theory was like good. It's like that. Oh my God. No. But you know the Big Bang Theory where they do a science joke, and if you understand, you know, if you know about science, it's like, I get that science joke.
Yeah.
Being web developers, there's a lot of that where you go, I know exactly what he's talking about. That.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like the whole sort of, I was going to say Silicon Valley-ness, but you know how it's about, you know, tech companies and the sort of toings and fro. But also there's that side of not so much Game of Thrones, but maybe Mad Men-y sort of business stuff that goes on, and there's people, you know, messing with each other and stuff. And that's, you know, it's good.
It's good. I love the way they sort of continuously fail upwards in that show.
Yes. Yeah, very upwards. They do really well.
yeah, they do. Despite everything, they still manage to do well. It's great. It's really good fun.
So. Yeah, great. Towards the beginning of the month, I watched Love on Netflix. I don't know if you've seen that.
Oh, I've seen bits of it. I think it's coming up as a recommended for me, but I haven't watched it yet.
Very good. It wasn't as funny as I thought it was going to be, but then it touched nerves and I was like, oh, this is good. This is like Flaked. I don't know if you've seen that. It's another great season show. It's coming back. They've got another season next month or this month.
It's Flaked. That's really Will Arnett too. One.
Will Arnett one.
Yeah.
He's really good in that. Well, Better Call Saul's back.
Mm.
Very much been enjoying that.
Yeah, that's been really good.
I didn't know how into it I'd get because I sort of drifted in and out last year, but I'm really into it. Like, I'm excited for every episode. I don't know if this is just a good season or...
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually really enjoying this season. I think it's... I'm looking forward to them actually turning him into Saul, which apparently is coming at some point this season. So I'm looking forward to that.
There's a lot of... This isn't a spoiler because it happened a lot last season, but there's a lot more sort of people from Game of Thrones. There's a couple more. And you kind of... I find myself... did I say Game of Thrones?
Yes, you did.
Obviously, I meant Breaking Bad.
Yes.
But there's a few times where I've just sat here thinking to myself, wait, why does he feel like that about it? And I'm sort of going through Breaking Bad in my mind as it goes on.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of giving Breaking Bad another watch. It's been so long that I can't remember half of who likes who and who doesn't like who and why. But it's good that it goes into some of that backstory as well.
Yeah, I mean, because I get the feeling that this season we may see how, because I don't think this happened in Breaking Bad, how the guy ends up in the wheelchair with the bell.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Because that's what I remember is from that from Breaking Bad. Yeah. And the first time I remember him, was he in a trailer or a little house and they were stealing from him or something. And, yeah. and then I was, that's that guy. Cause there's one episode particularly, I think it's like the second or third, where they do a flashback right at the start, to some, Mexican and, you know, the drug lords are meeting each other.
Yeah.
And I remember some particularly similar scenes in Breaking Bad where they started with that, almost a cold open of, here's some backstory, by the way, and then go to now. And it was like that. And I thought it was really good.
Yeah. Now, I've been really enjoying that. And I'm betting, or I think this season you may see what happens to him and how he ends up in the wheelchair, because I don't think that's ever been covered anywhere else.
Yeah.
I suspect Gus has something to do with it.
Yes, I was going to say, not to spoil it, but things seem to be going in that direction. What else? I don't know if you've mentioned this, actually. Have you seen Baskets on FX or Fox? Or
no, I've got it recorded and just haven't found time to watch it yet. How
Baskets
is it?
Has already become one of my favorite comedies, definitely of this year, probably maybe ever. It's really, really good. I'm really enjoying it. So this is Zach Galifianakis is in it and wrote it with Louis C.K. Louis C.K. isn't in it, but it's really good. It's about a down on his luck clown who got kicked out of clown school in France because he doesn't speak French. And it's quite sad, but in a sort of, it's like quite bleak.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't have much going for him, but it's really funny. In particular, there's an American comedian named Louis Armstrong who plays his mother, and it's really sort of they don't like, it's not like camp or anything. It's just he is his mother, and he's excellent.
In he won an Emmy for that, I believe.
Well, quite rightly, Dave.
he won an Emmy for that part.
Really funny in that show. Mm. I think we're up to maybe third episodes this week or something, maybe fourth.
Yeah.
And really, really enjoy that. So you should give that a go if you get around to it.
Yes, I will do. I always intended to and then didn't get to it. So yes, I will do.
I've just got a couple of things. We're at the bottom of the list, Dave. Oh my God. I saw Guardians 2 last week. I think it was last Wednesday, maybe. And
yes.
I heard you talk about it. You talked about it with Andrew last week. And I really liked it. People are in two minds where either they think it's really good or they don't think it's like amazing.
Mm.
And I think it's really good. As I'm sure I've talked about, I didn't really get on with the first Guardians. So that thing where people are like, "Oh, is it? It's not really better than the first one." To me, it's miles better than the first one because I actually enjoyed it. But no, the first time I watched the first Guardians, I find it quite hard to get along with. But then I've watched it since, and obviously now I get it.
Yeah.
But this movie was like, straight away, I'm like, I'm in. This is good. This is a good movie.
Yeah.
And I like all sort of father-son plots across cinema and TV. I'm instantly invested in for some reason. So yeah, it's good. I really liked it, yeah.
Yeah, well, there was Bex, who occasionally does this show, and over on her Bex Trista YouTube channel, if you go to that, she did a video of it where she describes it as being like, you know, a good movie, and it's a fun movie, but it's kind of a B-side, you know.
I watched that this morning and I thought it's really good. There's a really good deconstruction, a lot of it I agree with, but I'm not sure about the B-movie thing. It's because
I think she's not referring to it as a B-movie, more of a B-side of a record.
And very often you find that where B-sides aren't maybe as good as the, but I just really, really liked it. And I thought that the thing in the first one was that you've got these guys and you're introducing to the dynamics and you're introducing to who they are and why they're around and why they're in, you know. And then in the second one, you've got, okay, we've got all that. And then they put it in a little bit of jeopardy, or they, you know, split them up a bit and do different things. So yeah, I like that. It was a little bit Empire Strikes Back in that way, that they had the cast from the first one, and they were like, we've introduced these people who are like different, and you know, they're a team now. And then we're going to split them up and do different things.
Comparing Guardians of the Galaxy 2 to Empire Strikes Back is going to get complaints.
Oh, this is a heavy axe to bear.
Yeah, well, I mean, I enjoyed it. I thought it was great fun. I don't think the plot was anywhere near as strong as the first one. But, you know, I still would say go and watch it because it was hilarious. I mean, I laughed all the way through it. So it's not that I'm sort of with Bex. It's not that it's a bad film. It's a perfectly enjoyable, fun film. Just there's about 45 minutes worth of plot in there with a bunch of kind of funny vignettes stuck around it.
Well, one thing I didn't like, I'm not sure if Bex pointed this out or someone else pointed it out to me, was that in the first one, they locked them all up in like a high security prison.
Yes.
And then Rocket was like finding gadgets and trying to get them out, and he made a bomb or whatever. But in this one, this is maybe a tad spoiler, but they put him behind like a metal gate and he's screwed then. He's got nothing going on then.
Yeah, that's like a good point, actually.
So why couldn't you just, surely you could just pick that lock, your Rocket Raccoon.
Yeah, and the point about the we were slightly overusing the cuteness of Baby Groot as well.
I definitely agree with that, 100%.
Yeah. That's Bex's review is really good of it. So
yes,
I think it's a really solid review that. So I would go and listen to that. But I enjoyed Guardians though. I thought it was good fun. Anything else on your list?
No, that's it. I mean, there was two things. One, I went to Disneyland. That was really good.
Oh,
go
cool.
To This might be like a late review, but everybody go to Disneyland is really good.
Yeah,
it was great. Not much to say on that, but it was good.
Go on. I shall be going to Disneyland, I think, towards the end of the year, but I will be going to Disneyland, California. So
No, they've got the, is it Space Mountain going up? That's going up for the next couple of months in Paris. Oh, yeah, this was Paris. Did I say that?
Yeah, no, you didn't, but I rather assumed it was Paris. Yes.
They're having Space Mountains going up later in the year. So
that's cool.
And there was a new Spider-Man Homecoming trailer yesterday. I don't know if you saw it, Dave. It's not on your list.
No, it isn't. No, I missed that one. I'll have to go and look for that.
It's really good. I mean, one of the things I liked, maybe this is why I like Guardians so much, is that I didn't really know the plot before I was in there. I knew bits, but with this Spider-Man movie, I could tell you every single thing that's going to happen in that movie. I can give you a scene by scene of what's going to happen in that movie.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's Spider-Man, so it's still going to be great, but so now that movie is the film. You don't need to see it.
They do give a bit too much away sometimes trailers, but oh well.
Yeah, it's nice. It's good to see.
There is a new trailer just gone up, actually, literally in the last hour or so, for Blade Runner 2049 as well.
Oh.
That's just popped up, which is looking very dark and moody, as you'd sort of expect, as it's a Blade Runner movie. But a lot more Ryan Gosling and a lot more Harrison Ford in it, so worth checking out if you've not seen that yet. For me, the main show I've been working my way through is Grimm, again, because I started that last week, but I've been working my way through Grimm because I was way, way behind on it. So, and it's got to the point where there are certain days, like the weekend, there isn't that much stuff that I've been recording through the week. I'm managing to actually watch the stuff I record during the week now. So I've been watching that. And then weekends I've got cleared to kind of catch up on shows that I've had stacked in my Skybox.
Yeah.
So, I've been catching up on Grimm. I'm now up to date on that, which is quite good because I think it's the final episode this week. So
you've done well there then.
So yeah, caught up on that. That's a fun series, but I think they've probably stretched it about as far as you can possibly take it at this point. So I think it's the right time to end it. Jamestown, which is the new Sky One show, I thoroughly enjoyed. I thought that was quite good fun. That's basically about the setting up of a colony in the New World, set in 16 something or other. Setting this new colony up in Virginia, or what goes on to become Virginia. And the premise is that all the men got sent over first, and then 10 years later, the boat with a group of women that have been, their passage has been paid for by men in the colony, and they're basically coming over to be wives to those guys. And in a lot of cases, they've had their passage paid to sort of come to the New World, but they've never met or don't know who the guys are. So it's a bit of a kind of lottery mystery as to whether they've got like a decent bloke or not, really. It's an interesting premise for a TV show. It's quite heavily female-led, although, yeah, there are male actors in it. It's got Jason Fleming in it, and it's from Lockstock, and it's got Max Beasley in it as well, who seemingly doesn't make it to the end of the first episode, but then does. So, sorry, spoilers. But yeah, it's really enjoyed that. I think it's been really good fun. Sky need to cut down on its advertising a little bit, because, and by that I mean ad breaks literally every 10 to 15 minutes throughout the entire thing. And I mean, I was watching it on catch up, and that was starting to annoy me as well. You know, even just having to skip through on the catch-up stuff, which was, yeah. So, but yeah, good show, worth going to watch. I'll be interested to see how it pans out. Lucifer back also this week as well, which I love that show. It's highly entertaining. The latest episode, he turns up with a wife in tow, apparently having sort of disappeared and shut down the club, and then kind of comes back and turns up with a wife in tow. So that's quite good. Tom Ellis is amazing in that role. I'm very happy to see that come back. Also on Amazon Prime, you've got American Gods, which first episode went out last week as well. Phenomenal series. Absolutely brilliant. And there is one scene in particular that takes place, which I won't go into detail describing because we're a family show. but it has the goddess Bilquis in it, who is having relations with a certain man. And that scene has got a certain amount of notoriety. Bearing in mind that when I saw this, we were at the premiere for it. The actress that played the role was there.
Oh, no.
And straight after the scene, basically got cheers and a round of applause. So if you've seen that scene, you'll know what I mean by that. But
I bet that's the first round of applause she's ever got for that.
Yes. It's quite an amazing, it's an amazing feat of special effects work, let's say, on top of.
I might watch this for that now.
Honestly, go on, if you've got Amazon Prime, go and watch American Gods. Not with kids in the room, but go and watch American Gods. It's an amazing show. Absolutely brilliant. Marvel's Defenders got its first trailer as well. Arrives on Netflix on the 18th of August. Have you seen the trailer for this?
Yes, it's exciting.
Yeah, that it. Yes, it's exciting.
Yeah, I don't know. There's not much to... It's one of those things where I haven't seen any of Iron Fist still. Sort of keeping away from it. So I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be, and it's exciting, and there's definitely going to be fighting, and that's good.
Yeah, I like the look of it. I think it's going to be interesting to see how those guys actually interact together. Yeah.
And they've got, is it Styx doing the voiceover?
Styx.
I don't think you see him, but it definitely sounds like him.
I think he did, actually. I think you catch a little clip of him, but yes. So Styx back in there, pretty much every ancillary character on all the shows makes an appearance at some point.
Lady, she's got to be in it.
Yes. So
the center.
Oh yeah, no, she's definitely, Claire is definitely back in. So she's definitely back. That's looking really good.
She's like their, she's like crap Nick Fury, isn't she?
Yeah, well, she does kind of tie everything together because she's been in every single show, I think, so far. So House of Cards season 5 got a new trailer, which was really good. That came out with a great tagline, One Nation Under Wood, as well.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, it's a great tagline for it. So that's looking good. That returns to Netflix on the 30th of May. I'm well looking forward to that, because just brilliant. Also,
we're getting new Kimmy Schmidt about that point as well. George Kimmy Schmidt, it's really good.
I have seen some of it, yes. It's another one I've got to go back and finish watching, but I did find that really funny. I really enjoyed it. Marvel's Inhumans trailer dropped for that over the weekend, which really doesn't give away an awful lot, other than Ewan Rheon basically stirring up trouble, as he tends to do in every role that he's taken so far. So, he plays the brother of Black Bolt, who's played by Hell on Wheels, Anson Mount, and he plays the younger brother of Black Bolt, who's called Maximus, who he's basically seems like he's after the crown. It's quite interesting seeing Anson Mount without a beard or facial hair as well on that, which is quite good. So, but I mean, the photo that they've posted, barring the slightly odd wig that they've put on, Serinda Swan is the girl that's playing the Medusa, the wife of Black Bolt, and she has a slightly odd wig on in the photo. But apart from that, they seem to have stuck fairly faithfully to the costumes from the comic books, pretty much.
Black Bolt wasn't wearing a mask.
Yeah, I mean, Black Bolt's not wearing a mask. That would be the only thing. But, I mean, the rest of the costumes look fairly kind of faithful to... So, you know, that looks like it could be interesting. I want to see them in action.
It's almost a shame that they're doing it this way, because Inhumans leads into things like they had Inhumans versus X-Men, and they had Miss Marvel's an Inhuman now. It's, you know, there's a lot more you could, maybe they'll do in a series, maybe it's maybe not the X-Men, but the other stuff they could do. And it's interesting to know if they stick to the core of that, or if they go around to the sort of tertiary wider universe type things.
Yeah, I mean, it's coming to ABC in America, no UK pickup yet, although it sounds like it's going to stand alone, even though it could potentially cross over with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But it sounds like it's probably going to be standalone because, you know, it's set on Atalan, so it's completely separate to all the kind of Earth stuff. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how they handle it and what comes of it and all that sort of thing. But yeah, it comes to ABC in the US in the autumn, but the first two episodes are being screened in IMAX cinemas as a sort of movie feature length thing to promote it. That's going to be 2 weeks before it lands on ABC, so that's kind of going to be interesting, I think.
Do you think they'll be extra long? Because sometimes when they do a pilot, they'll do it longer than, you know, the regular episode time.
I don't know, maybe. I mean, it's going to be, they may make it up to 2.5 hours and make a movie out of it. So I don't know, we'll see. And the only other thing that I've been doing really this week is Dishonored 2, finally, game. I've had it for a while and I was looking for something new to play.
We've put Mass Effect down, have we?
Yeah, well, Mass Effect's completed, so I've done Mass Effect.
Man alive.
Finished Mass Effect. And I went on playing Star Wars The Old Republic a little bit, and I've been playing that a little bit. But then I was scrolling through my list of games that I haven't played yet and realised I got Dishonored 2, that I needed to go back and finish and stuff.
So I almost feel like that sort of fell by the wayside of the big game releases.
Yeah, it wasn't sort of pushed as big as some of the others. The first game was really good.
I was going to say, the first game was a big deal.
Yeah, the second seems to have gone slightly under the radar, but yeah, it's good. It's good. So that's everything we've been doing this week. Let's move on to some film and TV news. She'll kick off the film and TV news this week with some renewals and cancellations. First up, Line of Duty, which just finished its fourth season on the BBC. It's a show that I haven't seen any episodes of, and everybody tells me I need to go and catch up, and I think it's on Netflix, so that's another one that I may go watch at some point. So Line of Duty's just finished its fourth season. It's been renewed up to its sixth season. But here's the bad news. It won't return until 2019. The reason being that Jeb Mercurio, who's the guy that is writing it, is working on another show for the BBC and basically can't do both at once. So he's not going to start shooting Series 5 until 2018. So it's possible you might get Series 5 towards the end of 2018, but it's likely going to be 2019 by the sounds of it.
It's like there's only one TV crew in the world, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I'm assuming he's got to write both. So, you know, he's tied up writing this new show for the BBC, which it doesn't actually specify, but there is a show that he was working on for the BBC called Bodyguard. So I'm assuming that's the one they're talking about, which sounds quite interesting, actually. It's about the Royal and Special Protection Branch of London Met. And those are the guys that have the job of looking after like royalty and politicians and those sort of diplomats and those sort of people. So the team's led by a special prosecution officer, which is the bodyguard essentially of the title. And he's described as a heroic but volatile Gulf War veteran expected to lay down his life for the powerful, whether they deserve it or not. So, I quite like the sound of this. It sounds like it could be
Police House.
Yeah. Yeah. So it sounds like it could be quite good fun, that. Well, not fun. It's probably going to be dark and grizzly, but it sounds like it could be really entertaining. So, yeah, I think that's going to be one worth watching. But it's called Bodyguard, and that's due out next year, I think, or it's either going to be later this year or next year, that. Marvel's Runaways, which is another Marvel series, also got picked up for a full season order, which we mentioned Runaways a few times on here, but it's actually confirmed that they are going from pilot to a full season now. It's written by The OC and Gossip Girl's Joss Schwartz and Stephanie Savage. It's based on comic books by Brian K. Vaughan, who wrote Buffy Season 8 and Saga. Saga is an incredible book. We were talking about that like with Mike a few weeks ago. And it follows a group of teens who, despite their dislike for each other, have to band together to face a common enemy, which is their parents. And they discover the parents are part of a group of supervillains called the Pride. So they start to learn more about their true heritage and find that some of them have abilities and the others manage to swipe some magical items off their evil parents and set out to defeat them. So it sounds quite good fun, that.
That sounds like a good writing team for that sort of teen drama type action.
Yeah, I mean, it's coming to Hulu, so we don't know where it's going to land over here. I suspect somebody will pick it up, but I don't know who at the moment. Amazon has a habit of picking up some Hulu stuff. Amazon, there was a rumor today, by the way, that Amazon might be picking up The Handmaiden's Tale, a show which has been getting quite a lot of publicity because it's sort of set in a dystopian America. That sounds like it may be coming to Amazon, but they haven't officially confirmed anything yet. 13 Reasons Why has been renewed for a second season as well.
Oh, you love it, don't you, Dave? I bet you love it. But you love 13 Reasons Why, don't you, Dave?
It was really good. Have you seen any episodes of 13 Reasons Why? No, 13 Reasons Why. It was good. The last couple of episodes are really tough to watch.
Yeah, so you said last week. Yeah, I'm interested. I want to get into it because a lot of people are talking about it, but also I don't want to sit through that, you know? Yeah. I'm going to be sad.
Yeah, you want to be more kind of entertained. And I know what you mean. Yes, it's compelling. It's worth watching. Definitely worth watching.
Things. Only that.
Yes, so I thought the first series was excellent. It's going to be interesting to see where they take the second series. There were a few plot things that were left slightly loose, so they could pull on those for the new season. Although they have said that Hannah, who was the girl that commits suicide in the first one, is still going to be part of the story moving forward as well.
Classic Marvel, she's not really dead, mate. They're going to pull a Marvel on it, the old switcheroo.
I don't think she's going to be coming back to life. I think that's quite unlikely. But obviously it's based on a book, which is quite famous, particularly in America. So it's based on a book, and that was a one-off. So there aren't any other books for them to work on moving forward. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do with it as a TV show. And one cancellation, Emerald City will not be coming back for a second season. That has been cancelled, which was the sort of updated modern take on The Wizard of Oz, which I think failed to connect with audiences on both sides of the Atlantic. So unfortunately, yes, that's not going to be coming back. On to other things. HBO are working on 4 possible spin-offs for Game of Thrones.
That's apparently a lot of possible spin-offs.
What they've done is they've taken 4 writers and thrown George R.R. Martin at them and said, here you are, make a show. So it's Jane Goldman, who is the writer of X-Men First Class and Kick-Ass and the Kingsman movies.
Now that's a good writer, right?
Yeah, I mean, she's an amazing writer and wife of Jonathan Ross as well.
Who knew?
Yeah,
Jonathan Ross might have had a clue.
Yeah, and I did, but you know. she's a fantastic writer, works in Matthew Vaughn quite a lot as well. So yeah, I think she's superb. So I think she's a great pick for this because it's totally in her ballpark, this sort of stuff. Max Bornstein, who's the writer of the most recent Godzilla film and Kong Skull Island and the Minority Report TV series. So interesting pick for that. Brian Helengard, who wrote Man on Fire and LA Confidential and A Knight's Tale and the 2010 version of Robin Hood. So I think he's quite an interesting pick as well. And Carly Rae, who's not written all that much in terms of creating her own stuff, but she's written a number of episodes of Mad Men. She wrote a number of episodes of The Bastard Executioner. She was also apparently writing some episodes on Westworld season 2 as well.
That's pretty good. Got some heavyweights and some young blood. That's good.
Yeah, definitely a strong up and coming writer, she, by the sounds of it. There's an interesting mix of people in there. At the moment, we don't know any more than they've said we are creating 4 potential spin-offs. We don't know what time period they're going to be set in. We don't know what history they're going to use. All we know is that HBO have sort of liked the idea of doing a prequel, which sort of makes sense, I would say. Because you're not going to want to necessarily carry on with the characters that you've already got, because then you're just basically making more Game of Thrones if you're doing that, and they're not going to do that. So, I mean, you've got a lot of history to pick from. There's the rise and fall of Aerys Targaryen, who was the Mad King.
Yeah.
So you've got all that you can work with. You could go back further in the Targaryen dynasty. You've got the whole of the Dothraki culture that we've kind of dipped in and out of, but you could do quite a lot more building that and create quite an interesting show which is purely based around the Dothraki. Although if they're going to do that, I hope they make it in English, because reading the entire thing in Dothraki is going to be very difficult.
It'd be like Narcos.
Yeah, it would be like Narcos, you know. So I think hopefully if they did that, they would convert it into English.
Yeah.
You could also have a show that focuses rather more on the Valyrian freehold stuff in an Essos, because a lot of the stuff really is set around Westeros.
Yeah.
And we sort of, you know, apart from the Daenerys stuff in Essos, you know, most of it's set on Westeros. So it would be interesting to see some of the historical stuff about the sort of Valyrian side of things and see where that goes. So it's not as if they're short of material to pick from, really. You know, there's quite a lot you could do with it. The only thing we do know moving forward is that Dan Weiss and David Benitoff, who are the people that are in control of Game of Thrones at the moment, aren't going to come back and be showrunners for the new show. They'll go off and do other things, but they are sticking around as exec producers. So, I'm sure whoever they pick, it will be in very good hands.
Yeah, definitely.
It's HBO, after all. It's very rare they put a foot wrong.
So, from the makers of Silicon Valley.
Yeah. But, it's very rare that they actually kind of screw something up. So, you know, I'd be very happy with whatever kind of comes out of it. And then 17th of July for Game of Thrones Season 7.
Yeah, they've gone on Net TV. It's all over. They've got loads of little documentaries and bits about it. And they've got all six seasons on there.
Yeah.
Loads of it on Net TV.
Yes. Loads of it on Net TV. They'll all be on Sky Catch-Up as well.
Yeah.
I need to go and have a look through at some of the documentary stuff, because they've done some great documentaries. They did one which was a day in the life of Game of Thrones, which they put out before season 6 last year. If that's kicking around on there, it's well worth a watch, because it really shows you just the huge scale of that show. You know,
I thought about watching them all again, but I don't know if I can commit to that.
Yeah, I know. There's so much other stuff for me to watch. I'd love to do that, but there's so much other stuff I need to watch that I'm not sure I can kind of commit to doing that. So moving on, Sky to Netflix, they've just picked up a new show from Simon Barry, who's the guy that wrote... Did you ever see Continuum?
I did not.
Continuum was a really good show. It was on Sci-Fi over here. But Netflix have picked up Ghost Wars, which is from Continuum's Simon Barry. Stars Vincent D'Onofrio and Kim Coates, who you might not know the name, but if you're a fan of Sons of Anarchy, you'll recognise him. It's actually been commissioned by Sci-Fi US, but Netflix are running it internationally. It's set in a remote Alaskan town, which has been overrun by paranormal forces. The series follows a local outcast called Roman Mercer, played by Avan Younger. Joga?
Joga.
It's J-O-G-I-A, anyway. He was in Turt and Victorious and Twisted. So the series follows this local outcast called Roman, who must overcome the town's prejudices and his own personal demons if he's to harness his repressed psychic power and save everyone from the mass haunting that threatens to destroy them all. So, Ghost Wars, interesting. It's got Justin Lerman from Motive and Killing, and he's also going to pop up in Netflix's other show, Uncle Carbon, and Meatloaf as well is also in it.
Amazing. So I like that you felt the need. I don't know if this is a bit inside baseball, but we have a sheet of things we're going to talk about, and I like that you felt the need to list other things Meatloaf has been in. like I'm not, oh, Meatloaf, was he the one in? Yeah, he's the rock star one. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yes. No, it's that other Meatloaf. Yeah. Yes. No. Well, yeah, I was trying to. I do it because it's copied off the website. So, you know, some of the bits are covered off the website. So, Meatloaf from Fight Club and Rocky Horror. And he popped up in an episode of Elementary recently as well.
And from being Meatloaf.
Yes. And from being Meatloaf, who would do anything for love, but not that. I don't know. Sounds kind of interesting. Ghost Wars. Could be quite good fun.
Yeah.
It says Ghost Wars is not just a contemporary homage to classic psychological horror, commented Barry. It's also an opportunity to tell stories about human politics and how we shape our beliefs and lives based on individual perspectives and biases. Science, humanism, religion, and the paranormal all get a seat at the table. So, could be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But coming to Netflix some point later in the year, we don't know exactly when yet. And finally, Danny DeVito and Jess Goldblum are apparently teaming up for a new comedy series on Amazon, which I think just the pair of those together in anything sounds amazing.
I was going to say, I'm in. Don't read the rest, I'm in.
So the basic premise for it's created by Tim Long, who was a writer on The Simpsons. It's based around Matt Downey, who's played by Jeff Goldblum, and Arlo Finkelman, who's played by DeVito, as they're an aging, iconic musical duo who are forced to reform the band despite their absolute contempt for each other. As the talented but strong-willed pair attempt to reconcile, they turn to the people who've somehow managed to love these two incandescent idiots. Their wives, their ex-wives, their children, their managers, friends and lovers, all of whom turn out to be as brilliant, infuriating and frustratively lovable as Matt and Arlo themselves. The idea of those two playing kind of aging rock stars.
Yeah. I'm angry sold. Blues Brothers.
Yes, I'm totally sold on that. It sounds brilliant. Jeff Goldblum's amazing in everything, and so is Danny DeVito. So, and it's not like Danny's any stranger to TV comedy. I mean, he from Taxi to like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, he's been doing a lot of that stuff. Jeff Goldblum actually had a regular role on a show called Portlandia, which I never saw, but he's been sticking to his movie work recently. He pops up in Thor Ragnarok. That Thor Ragnarok trailer looks really funny.
Really good, this could be the big one.
Yeah, I think this could be really, really funny. So, yes, it looks good. I'm looking forward to that. We don't know any more about it. Don't know whether it's got like a straight-to-series order or whether it's going to go on the Amazon pilot program or whether they're just going to kind of do it or what. So we'll see what comes of it, but one to keep an eye out for. I don't think he's got a name yet either, that show. But comedy series with Danny DeVito and Jeff Goldblum. So that's all the news for this week. Next up, we have an interview.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This week's interview is with our old friend Phil Eisler, who is back for his fifth time to update you on his latest project.
Been on more than I have.
Yeah, pretty much. For those of you that haven't heard the other four times he was on the show, Phil is started out as a songwriter and guitar player with Robbie Williams and various other bands before moving into composing for TV and film. He's the man behind the music for Empire, the brilliant, brilliant Unreal, if you've not seen that show, and Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce. He was on Revenge and various other shows as well. He recently completed working on the soundtrack for the movie Chips and the movie To the Bone, which was the directorial debut of the Buffy Angel writer and Unreal creator Martin Noxon, who's an incredibly talented woman, star of Keanu Reeves and Lily Collins. He's also working on The Titan, which stars Sam Worthington and Orange is the New Black's Taylor Schilling, and the new Melissa McCarthy movie, which is called Life of the Party. So here's the ado with Phil. It's about 20 minutes long. We'll see you afterwards with some highlights for next week on TV. Hello.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Very good.
Good. Yes. It's the fifth time I think we've spoken now.
Generally.
Yeah. Good. It's been pretty much one a year, I think. I think we did two in the first year, so maybe it's been 4 years, but
please don't tell me it's been going on that long, but yes. How are you, mate?
I'm doing okay. So how are things with you? How's life in LA?
It's all right. You know, it's life in LA is good. I think life in my bunker is the same as in most other bunkers, whatever town you're in. But it's good. I had another kid. I had another little girl.
Oh, congratulations!
Thank you. So, you know, it's busy and it's crazy, but it's great.
Yeah, you've got how many shows are you running at the moment? Is four something like that plus the films?
Luckily they don't always overlap. There's sort of you know, bits and pieces happening here, and they run at different times, but yeah, something like that.
And a new baby to deal with.
Yeah.
So the latest film that's recently been released is the Chips movie, which I think we briefly touched on last time.
But I probably just signed on to do it when I last spoke to you.
Yeah, I think you probably had, yeah. So, how's that gone? Were you a fan of the original show?
So, I mean, yes and no. I don't think it was one I particularly watched as, you know, that much when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I watched The A-Team more than I probably watched Chips, but I did watch Chips. I mean, you got to remember, I grew up in England.
Yeah, well. So
I wasn't, and I didn't move to England until the 80s.
Okay.
So Chips was largely over by the time I grew up.
I definitely remember seeing it. So it was on at some point. Yeah,
I'm sure it was on. But by the time I got to England, it was 18. Airwolf and what else? What was the one with the bike? Street Hawk.
Yes.
How do I remember that?
What a great show that was.
And Knight Rider and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, how's the music gone on the Chips movie?
I've never had so much fun on a movie because it was all about, you know, it was a very live score. So there was a band and there was an orchestra.
Right.
And my whole thing was to, not that this is something I would ever do, but I think Dax's biggest concern was having anything that sounded like quote-unquote studio rock.
Right.
Which is sort of a pet peeve of mine too. I think that's one of the things we sort of bonded over, you know, just something that sounded phony and inauthentic. And there's not really any question of me doing that because it's not where I'm from.
Yeah.
I'm not an orchestral composer who's trying to figure out what distortion pedal is. So that part was fun. And, you know, I deliberately got together a band full of very opinionated, strong personalities, you know, who would bring their own thing to it. And you know, some amazing, amazing musicians on there. Aaron Sterling, who's one of my favorite drummers in LA, who's played with John Mayer and lots of stuff for Don Was. Zach Ray, who is in Death Cab for Cutie. Amazing keyboard player. And a bunch of other people. Alex Acuna, who is one of the most incredible Latin percussionists of our time. The guy's a genius.
Right.
I think he's played with everybody from Santana to God knows who. He's nearly in his 70s. I think he might even be in his 70s or late 60s. Unbelievable. And so we sort of took all the themes that I wrote and played them out. And a lot of that you'll hear on the soundtracks coming out. I put a lot of the suites on, you know, where I was originally working out the themes before we actually locked a picture.
Yeah.
That's really fun because there's some stuff where we just went sort of a weird Latin drum and bass, God knows what sort of mishmash of stuff,
yeah.
And trying to find something slightly new in amongst the comedy stuff that you're sort of that people expect to hear a little bit, and you know, not completely throwing away the I think there's some of the funk ideas from the, you know, from the TV series, but yeah, way dirtier and way sort of, you know, way less 80s, 70s and 80s.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, did you look back much on the sort of music that was around at the original, yeah, when it was originally?
Often the main thing was the theme, you know.
Yeah.
We sort of knew that everybody would want to hear the theme when they walked into the theater. And in the end, we decided to open the movie with it because it's just so much fun to, yeah, like, you hear motorbikes revving and this big Chips fanfare at the beginning, so everyone who's a Chips fan can go in and go yes, and then a little sort of remix of it at the end and a couple of places throughout the movie. But other than that, it was about doing something new and writing all new themes and, you know, and not trying to rehash the original. I think that was done. There's so many good composers on that original show. You had, you know, John Parker wrote the theme. Then you had Alan Silvestri. You had Mike Post. You had, there was like 10 composers on it or something crazy.
That's nuts.
So, you know, I don't want to go back and try and mess up their work for them. They did a great job already.
Sure, sure. And how involved was Dax in the process, given that he's writer, director and star of the film? Was he kind of getting involved in the music as well?
Movie directed and catered by Dax, yes. Shepard. He was actually very involved, which was another fun thing for me because I don't particularly like to just sit there and, you know, ignore the director. I've never understood that. I'm very much sort of into collaborating very closely with filmmakers wherever they're open to it. And Dax is just a big music fan and just wanted to be here and would come in, and it was just nothing but good vibes when he would come back and listen to cues. And he was at all the recording sessions, just sort of, it was like being at a gig, really. It was great fun.
Awesome. So you've done that. You've also got the Titan as well, which mm-hmm. I think you probably just signed on for as well last time we spoke.
Yeah.
Is that your first sci-fi movie, that one?
Is it or isn't it? Well, I guess I've done a sort of a horror thing before that was a bit, yeah, I think this is my first straight up sci-fi. But the thing is that you couldn't really call this straight up sci-fi either, because it's part horror movie, it's part thriller, it's part sci-fi, but it's very much a love story, actually.
Right, okay, yeah.
That's what I think makes it a little bit unique.
Yeah.
That's great fun. Yeah, even though I'd signed onto it a while ago, that hasn't really got going yet.
Right.
I've just been writing a bit on that. And on the other side of that, I'm doing Melissa McCarthy's next movie. So it's sort of a...
Yeah.
You know, sci-fi thing on the one side and then extreme comedy on the other. So it's, you know, it's the one thing I'm very grateful for in my career is no one's managed to pigeonhole me yet. And I try very hard not to do the same thing over and over again because I get bored, you know. So that's kind of nice.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. The other little movie which slotted in there as well, To the Bone.
Oh, yeah.
Which is was Marty Noxon's directorial debut. I actually know a little bit about this because I spoke to the line producer for it a few weeks ago, that was, when it was out at South by South. Was it South by Southwest or was it?
They might have gone to South by, but we opened at Sundance.
Sundance, yes. It was when it was at Sundance, I think. Mm-hmm. That's quite an interesting like little project. How did you get involved with that?
I've worked with Marty before on, she was one of the creators of Unreal, which is a show that I do. And yeah. Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce, which is a show that I've been scoring. And she is just insanely fierce and talented and creative. And, you know, when I heard that she was directing a movie, it was sort of a no brainer, really. I would work on anything she does. I think she's amazing.
Yeah.
And the movie, I think, is amazing. I think it's great. It's Lily Collins and Keanu Reeves. I mean, there's lots of really talented actors in it, but without wanting to single anybody out too much, I think Lily Collins is astounding in the film. I think she's unbelievable. Put in such an amazing performance. So it was really inspiring to work on.
Yeah. Dealing with anorexia, which is something I think Marty's talked about personally as well. So a fascinating little movie. How did you approach the music for it?
Well, I mean, first of all, as a side note to that, one of the things that was a weird coincidence, a bit of serendipity, whatever you want to call it, was that my father is actually an eating disorders specialist. He actually got an OBE being one of the founders of one of the methods one of the treatment methods that gets talked about in the film. So when we were first talking about the movie, I told Tom Hyde that she nearly fell off her chair because it's such a weird coincidence.
Yeah.
So I guess we had something to talk about on that front. And and we approached it very much from the character end of things.
Yeah.
I think this, you know, this is Lily Collins' character is, but without giving too much about the, too much away about the film, it's about the choice she's making to live or die, really, through the movie. So it's a heavy thing.
Yeah.
To approach, and obviously a subject that's very real to a lot of people.
Yeah.
So, you know, you try and do it respectfully, but at the same time, Marty's got a wicked sense of humor, and she's, even though this is very much a drama, the character has this kind of great gallows sense of humor. So I think even though the music, there's no comedy music in there, but it certainly just sort of inspired me a little bit. Her character's just sort of sharp and lots of barbs and spikes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge fan of Marty Kerr's ever since the Buffy days, which is sure. Where she started on those shows. It's interesting. With Unreal, I think when we spoke about Unreal last time, I don't think I'd seen any of it. But it's now come on to Amazon over here. It airs on Amazon over here.
Oh, nice.
Which it wasn't, I don't think, when we spoke last time. So I thought, I was in two minds about it, because you could have think, well, it's a show about a you know, those big American TV beauty pageant things. Do I want to watch that? Absolutely astounding piece of work.
Yeah, but it's another thing. I mean, I guess I gravitate towards dark material. I think Marty does too, and you know that's why that's a fun watch, really.
Yeah. I mean, I love the fact that it's based around quite a lot of things that had actually happened on those shows as well.
Oh yeah. You know. Yeah, and I'm far worse in reality, but...
Yeah. People ask me what it's like. I describe it as being basically a group of vain, very self-centered people being evil to a bunch of even more vain, self-centered people.
Vain psychopaths.
Yeah. when it comes to the music for that, are you writing music for the show, but are you writing music for the show within the show as well?
Well, there is a bit of that, yeah. Honestly, I had to consult an expert, to be honest, because one of my biggest problems was getting the reality show music cheesy enough. I kind of couldn't get it right at first. I'd send all these drafts and they would go, that is way too sophisticated for anything you'd hear. And it like, it's not corny enough. It's just not cheesy enough. You got to try harder. At the same time, every note I played was making me want to be slightly ill. So eventually I consulted a friend who's worked on a few of those shows and got some help on that end of things.
Yeah.
But the music that's the, I guess, the underscore, you know, it's interesting because of all the things I've done, that's one where you can't underscore emotion too directly. Usually it's the sort of thing. If you do that, it suddenly turns into a soap opera and you've ruined it.
Yeah.
It's actually, I think the more emotional the characters are, the more detached the music becomes. It's a weird show to score that way, but that's sort of what's ended up working.
Yeah. Yeah. And, Empire, of course, you're still on as well, which is a great show. It's just fun. And,
Empire's endlessly fun, man. And it's, you know, and it's a big grand orchestral score and we use live orchestra every week and it's, you know, it doesn't get any more fun than that. It's fun. Now we're on season three. It's sort of feels like a very well-oiled machine. We all know what we want out of the show and how to make it work. And it's good.
So has that got easier as the more seasons have gone along?
I think most things do.
Yeah.
You know, most things. I mean, I think most shows, if it's not smooth running by season two, season three, something's definitely wrong.
Right.
You want everybody to be able to concentrate on story and character and story arc by that time and not be worrying about, you know, why does it sound the way it sounds?
Yeah.
If that's happening by sort of season two, season three, then something somewhere is not right.
Yeah. And I mean, do you ever get involved on the sort of other side of the music? Because you're doing a lot of the score. Are you involved on the song side as well at all?
Not so much, but funnily enough, on Melissa's movie, on the Melissa McCarthy movie, which her husband Ben is directing.
Oh, right.
There's been some talk of trying to incorporate those two together, but generally, I mean, I came up as a songwriter, but it's not something I've been involved with as much lately, but it's something that I'm sort of do keep threatening to cross over. Actually, I suppose in Unreal, there were definitely elements of score that was, you know, more of a song-based kind of thing.
Right. Yeah.
So it's kind of creep back into my life, which is, you know, which is no bad thing. I mean, I love that and I grew up with it. So
yeah. Well, yeah, yes. From your days on stage with Mr. Williams.
another life.
Yes, another life. You mentioned the Melissa McCarthy movie. How far along are you with that?
We're sort of at the stage of written all the themes for it and doing the score. There's not tons and tons of score in it. I think Ben's a really smart director that way, that he doesn't overuse music. I think that's something I would say about Marty too, that they sort of don't just wallpaper things with music for the sake of it. And some movies want that, these kind of don't. And there's also lots of songs in there. Yeah, so somewhere in the middle, somewhere about.
And what shows have you got running right now?
Well, it sort of comes and goes. Empire's been on a hiatus for a little while. That's coming back soon.
Yeah.
Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce just came back and is sort of going on another hiatus because it's split into, I think, three final seasons. Unreal will come back in a little while. And then I try and keep track of it.
Yeah, it's always so busy, so you know, which is always good in your industry. So
I mean, I love what I do, so I've got no problem with it.
Yeah, yeah, no, you're always better to having to turn things away if you need to.
Absolutely, yeah.
So a few final questions, because I know you're always really busy, so I don't want to keep you too long.
Sure.
So we'll go with the last two standard questions that we always ask people. What TV shows are you managing to watch at the moment?
None. that's almost entirely true, because I haven't had tons of spare time. What have I been watching? I loved both seasons of Narcos. I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah.
I recently watched... There's a show called Six about the Navy SEALs on the History Channel. Barry Sloan is in it, who's an actor from Revenge, from the Revenge days. Great actor from Liverpool.
Yeah.
What else have I been watching? I mean, sometimes it's sort of incidental. It's more like me collapsing in bed at 4 a.m. and telly. I haven't had much time to commit to a TV show, to be honest. I would say Narcos is the last thing. Peaky Blinders, I loved. It lost me a little bit at some point, but I'm really sort of it's something I want to catch up on, because I know that they're going all. I think that the series is going to go all the way up to the Second World War or something. That's what I'd heard anyway.
Oh, yeah, quite possibly.
Who is it that's coming on? I know they just cast somebody really, really great.
Adrian Brody.
That's right, Adrian Brody. I'm very curious to see what that's going to be like. So that could be fun.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all I've had time for.
Taboo is probably, if you're a fan of Peaky Blinders, Taboo's the other thing to keep an eye out for. Because that's Stephen Knight.
I haven't seen that yet. That seems like our hero in full lunatic mode.
Yes, yes.
I know he's keen on that. I loved it. He was brilliant in Revenant, and I thought Revenant was an amazing film.
Yeah.
So yeah, so when I saw the trailer for Taboo, I was like, oh, okay. That's good.
It's good show, so worth watching. And finally, if you had the opportunity to work on any show, past, present or future, other than the millions you're already on, which show would it be?
Man, I'm crap at these kind of questions, because it's not like, okay, look, if, you know, Star Wars comes along, let's do it. I don't know. A Star Wars TV show is probably a horrible idea.
There's a Star Wars cartoon, which is actually really good. Yes.
Because my daughter's seen it, but other than that,
it's very good.
First of all, I'd be crap at pitching you a TV show to come up with an idea. It's a comedy about a lonely robot that travels across. I don't know. I'm not very good at that kind of stuff. But whenever there's a good character-driven drama,
yeah,
that's just that's me all the way in right away. That's the kind of thing I'd probably end up watching. Something like I love the way they sort of treat the period in Peaky Blinders. And I like that they're eclectic and weird with the music. I'd love the idea of scoring something like that as underscore, as opposed to with a rock band, you know, to sort of, I mean, I love what they do on the show. I do have this thing about, I've been a history nut for years.
Yeah.
And I've been fascinated with World War II ever since I was a little kid. So something from that era would be amazing to write for.
That'd be cool.
Or the Cold War. A nice Russian spy drama. But then who doesn't these days?
Yes. Yeah. That's... Oh. You're surviving, though.
For that subject.
Yeah, no, I imagine this will make the interview go for another half an hour at least if we get on to that.
Yeah, or half a week.
Yes, yeah, no, but you're surviving in Trump's America, so comes to something.
Yeah, I think everybody's surviving, but okay, I'm gonna shut up. I'm not gonna get on that subject because that's
very dangerous. Does come to something where LA seems like one of the more saner areas of the USA.
No, that's very well put, actually. When we're starting to look like the bastion of sanity, then something is seriously up.
Yes, definitely. All right, I shall let you get back to your millions of projects.
It's nice to talk to you, mate.
Yeah, lovely to talk to you. Always a pleasure. I'm sure we'll talk to you again in another 12 months, I would think so.
Go on.
All right, have a good day. Cheers. Bye. So that was the interview with Phil. Hope you enjoyed that. For those of you looking to catch up on Phil's work, you can find Unreal on Amazon Prime and Lifetime. You can find Empire on E4, and the Chips movie will be coming to digital download and disc in June. To the Bone will be on Netflix at some point later in the year. We don't know exactly when yet. Now for highlights next week on TV. So only 4 shows we've got coming up next week. It's a slow week for new things coming onto TV.
Enough time for you to catch up with everything.
Yes. Yes, very much so. It's a good time to start catching up with things. So Rosewood is coming on to Alibi for its second season. Second and possibly last season, because I don't think that's doing particularly well at the moment. But Alibi on the 9th of May at 9 p.m. It was quite a good, like, little comedy drama, sort of, I mean, fairly standard by the book thing, but it was perfectly watchable. I Love Dick.
Soundbite.
You know, Kevin Bacon was on Graham Norton promoting this show last Friday, and he actually said one of the reasons that he took the show was he just knew that it meant that all the journalists were going to have to be talking about the fact that I Love Dick. He's so childish, but I love him for the fact that that was a factor in whether he did the show or not. I think that's brilliant. So I Love Dick season 1 coming to Amazon Prime on the 12th of May stars Kevin Bacon as Dick, who taunts the imaginations of Chris and Sylvia as it upends their preconceptions about love and monogamy. It's a sort of kind of relationship drama thing or relationship comedy thing. It's one of those that's kind of quite hard to get a grasp on, I think, without seeing it. Maybe a poor choice of words, but anyway.
I was going to say featuring plenty of dick.
Moving on. Master of None season 2 arrives on Netflix on the 12th of May as well. You've seen this, haven't you?
Yes. I still, a year on, and I'm not sure if I liked it. I watched it. I definitely watched it, and it was on, and it got to the end, and there were some laughs along the way, but I'm not sure if I thought it was good or not. I think I did.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, I haven't yet. I think I keep on going to watch it and then kind of other things distract me, but it's another one that's on my list of things that I probably should watch. The second season starts after traveling abroad. Dev returns to New York to take on challenges in his personal and family life, a new career opportunity, and a complex developing relationship with someone very meaningful to him. So,
I tell you what was weird about that series is his parents in real life play his parents on the show. And it's really, really, really jarring, because obviously they're not actors and they're not, you know, they're not trained actors or comedians. And it's really jarring to watch them, because you're like, you could have just not done this. There's no joke that we're all laughing at going, haha, they're just like us and that's hilarious. There's no, like, that's not what it is. It's just that they happen to be his parents. And it's like, oh, well, you could have got anybody to do this and it would have scanned better, I feel.
Yeah. Yeah,
but yeah, it was good. There's some laughs in there. Definitely some laughs in there.
Okay, yeah, I can't judge because I've not seen it, but interesting. Okay, and Dara O'Brien is back on his global takeover of TV, and he's back with the second season of Go 8-Bit, which comes to Dave on the 15th of May at 10 p.m. Did you see any of the first season of this?
No, I didn't.
I watched the whole lot. It's, if you're sort of like your gaming, particularly some nostalgic gaming as well. It's well worth watching because it's funny, it's entertaining. They have some interesting celeb guests on. It's very geeky. And it's basically two teams playing video games against each other. But they aren't just picking kind of modern games. They're picking games through history and games sure. that they guests like and that sort of stuff. So, it's great and entertaining, really good fun. It's now got a companion show called Go 8-Bit DLC as well, which is going on Amazing. Straight afterwards, which is going to have more video game stuff on it. Yeah,
I bet they just someone thought of that and thought we could do this, and they're like, "Oh, what are we going to do in the program? Doesn't really matter. We need the title. Look at that title. It's yeah. there waiting for us."
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. That sounds good. There was one other little show which popped up, which is an advanced thing, actually, which we've generally stopped doing on the podcast, but this looked quite good, so I just wanted to throw it in there. Sci-Fi UK have just picked up a show called Midnight Texas, which is based on the latest book trilogy by True Blood's Charlene Harris. It's essentially set in a small town where nothing's quite what it seems. Your neighbours can be vampires, witches, werewolves, or even an angel. And the town needs to band together like a somewhat dysfunctional family to fend off outsiders, such as biker gangs and overzealous police. It sounds really intriguing. And there's a little trailer for it up on the website as well. It doesn't start to air in the US until July. And Sci-Fi UK are going to be running it just after its US broadcast as well. It's 10-hour-long episodes for the first season. So it could be one to watch out for.
Interesting.
But it looks quite good. So anything else from you?
Yeah, there was one thing, actually. I got an email this week from Now TV giving me a free Now TV box.
Oh, wow.
I think it's a refurb that they've done. So they've had one that someone sent back because it doesn't work or whatever, refurbished it and sent it out. So make sure you check your email, check your junk. And I don't know if this is a thing that they're doing or if I'm special, but I thought I'd let you know just in case this was a big thing that they were doing.
Okay. That's interesting. Yeah,
I haven't had it yet. So I've no idea if it'll work or not, but it's free. So
but yeah,
the main reasons are it's free and PlayStation 4 doesn't have an ITV app. So that's why this is happening.
Ah, okay. Oh, cool. Well, that's it. That's interesting. So yeah, that'd be one to keep an eye out on your emails for. Not that like the Now TV boxes are particularly expensive anyway, but
no, but I mean for free.
But yeah, no, worth it for free. Worth it for free, and then just kind of pay for the months that you want to use it and turn Definitely. It off for the months you don't. So good for Game of Thrones. Just in time for Game of Thrones.
Just in time for Game of Thrones. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it is. I'm sure that this is the time they'll push it because I know a lot of people will go onto Now TV for the months where Game of Thrones is on. So. Right, well, that's everything for this week. If you want to find more information about all the latest TV air dates and TV news and trailers and all that sort of stuff, come to the website at geektown.co.uk throughout the week to see all the latest info. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. You can leave a message on the website post. Find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, and on Instagram at geektownuk. That's everything. We shall see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.